Continue our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, chapter entitled The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha, text number 35. Siddhavuchu Ayam Tvat Katham Rishapiya Piyusha Nandyam Ayam tat katha mrisa piyusha nandyam Mano varnya klesha dvagni dagtha Mano varnya klesha dvagni dagtha Sarto vagadau nasmara dvaya dvam dva davam Trisarto vagadau nasmara dvavam Niskrita mati brahma sampannam va Word for words. Siddha the Siddhas Uchu prayed I am this Tat katha your pastimes Mrisha, pure. Piyusha, of nectar. Nadyam, in a river. Mana, of the mind. Varana, the elephant. Klesha, suffering. Davagni, by the forest fire. Dagda, burned. Trisha, thirst. Artha, afflicted. Avagadha, being immersed. Nasasmara, does not remember. Davam, the forest, fire or the miseries. Naniskramati, not come out. Brahma, the absolute. Sampannavat, like having merged. Na, our. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Siddhas prayed, like an elephant that has suffered in the forest fire, but can forget all its trouble by entering a river. Our minds, O Lord, always merge in the nectarian river of your transcendental pastimes. And they desire never to have such a transcendental bliss, which is a good as the pleasure of merging in the absolute. Please repeat the translation. Siddhas prayed, like an elephant that has suffered in the forest fire. But can forget all its trouble by entering a river. Our minds, O Lord, always merge in the nectarian rivers of your transcendental pastime. and the desire
never to leave such a transcendental
bliss, which is as good as the pleasure of merging in the Absolute. Purport by His Divine Grace. This statement is from the Siddhas, the inhabitants of Siddha Loka, where the eight kinds of material perfection are complete. The residents of Siddha Loka have full control in the eight kinds of mystic perfection. But from their statement, it appears that they are pure devotees. They always merge in the nectarian river of hearing of the pastimes of the Lord. Hearing of the pastimes of the Lord is called Krishna Katha. Similarly, there is a statement by Prahlad Maharaj that those who are always merged in the ocean of nectar of describing the Lord's pastimes are liberated and have no fear of material condition of life. The Siddhas said that the mind of an ordinary person is full of anxieties. The example is given here, given of the elephant who has suffered in the forest fire and has entered into a river for a relief. If person who are suffering the forest fire of this material existence will only enter into a nectarian river of the description of the pastimes of the Lord, they will forget all troubles of the miserable material existence. The Siddhas do not care for a fruitive activities such as performing sacrifices and achieving the goal good results. They simply merge into a transcendental discussion of the pastimes of the Lord. That makes them completely happy without care for a pious or impious activities. For those who are always in Krishna consciousness, there is no need to perform any kinds of pious or impious sacrifice or activities. Krishna consciousness itself is complete. For it includes all processes praised in the Vedic scriptures. Om Ajnana Tivirantasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurumilitam Vena Tasmai Sri Guru Venama Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Yupakadame Dadati Swabdantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapadikamlam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपी सकृपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्ते तत्व कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय पंचाकल दुर्विश कृपा सिंधु वै विचार प्रदानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सरस्वती हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम Hare Krishna. Lock me out my notes. So, hearing the beautiful description, this is the prayers being offered by the different personalities who were present at the sacrifice arena of Daksha. While the yajna was being performed, Lord Vishnu has arrived on the scene. So that we're hearing the different personality who present at the sacrifice, They are offering prayers to the Lord. So the today specifically is the Siddhas, who are the residents of Siddha Loka, are speaking. So Siddha, the residents of Siddha Loka is very special. They have a, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that they have all Asta Siddhis, all the perfection of Siddhis into a full. And they are offering a prayers. What are they saying? That they would like to merge into the beautiful nectarian pastimes of the Lord. They would like to hear, constantly they would like to hear. This is what they are praying. This is what is the bliss. This is what is this, the real ananda of the devotees. They give an example of an elephant. That which is being scorched by the heat of a fire that is in the forest. So imagine the elephant is in the middle of the fire and it's being scorched by the fierce forest fire. So what would be the relief for such a misery? That is water. So they are giving an example of how in this material world the anxieties and the stress are compared to the forest fire of and the elephant is compared to us as a living entities. The relief is merging into a water, going into water, which will give us the relief from the heat or the anxiety or the. So what is the relief? What is the river is compared to? The river is compared to the description, the pastimes of the Lord, it's which gives the relief from this material pangs, anxieties. So so this is now in the purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses different kinds of siddhis. I was doing a little bit of research on this different kinds of siddhis. Siddhis means perfection. That is a supernatural power you get, you attain by performing a austerity or tapasya, or by yoga practice mainly. So in 11th canto, 15th chapter, Lord Krishna himself, Uddhava actually asked Lord to please describe these siddhis. He wanted to know. And Lord gives a full description of this different kinds of siddhis or perfections or the mystic power they attain through the yoga. So as we understand, the yoga has got eight limbs. Yes? Astanga yoga. Asta means eight, anga means limbs, different types of yoga. So first is yama. Yeah? The first anga of the yoga is yama. Yama is yama and niyama, there's two. So yama, niyama. So these are rules and regulations that we need to follow. Before being a yogi, before being a real yogi, there are different practices we have to perform. We have to be a pure. So there are 10 limbs of just the first one, yama, and then I got 10 limbs. It's mentioned in the Sandilya Upanishad. There are 10 limbs of first yama, which are ahimsa, non-violence. Second, satya, truthfulness. Yeah. Third one is asteya, or which means not stealing anything that's the may one. I mean, that's not belong to you. That's all. The fourth, brahmacharya. You have to practice this celibacy. So chastity for ladies, for men. Chama is the fifth one, which is forgiveness. Dhriti, fortitude or a courage. Daya, compassion. Arjava, non-hypocrisy, means sincerity, very sincerity. Mita ahara, eating moderately, measured diet. Saucha, tenth, is cleanliness. So these are the 10 limbs of further of the first astanga, of first part of the astanga, which is yama. So sub category of the yama, those I just mentioned 10. Then there's, what's the next one? Niyama. So yama, niyama. So the niyama has got a 5 subcategory which also needs to be followed by a practitioner of a yoga. Saucha means pure, clean, cleanliness of mind, speech and body. That is saucha. Second, santosa, completely satisfied or contentment, in not hankering for a unwanted or just hankering for the material things. Santosa. Third, tapasa, austerity or persistence, tapa. Sadhyaya, swadhyaya, means the study of the Vedas. They also need to study the Vedas. And Ishvara pranidhana means completely contemplating or meditating on the Ishvara, which is the Paramatma. So this is the 5 subcategories of a niyama. This is described in the Patanjali Yoga Sutra. And then we have third one is asana. So this is I'm going through the 8 limbs of yoga. Asana, which is, means the different physical yoga postures that you go through. Then it is pranayama. Different breathing exercises that which helps to control the mind, control the body, control the senses. Pratyahara, sense control. Dharana means full concentration. Concentration what? Paramatma. Yeah. Dhyana, that is a meditation. Lord Kapila Dev fully, we just heard from the third canto, how Lord Kapila Dev explains in detail that how we should meditate on the Lord, starting from the lotus feet, going up in thigh, going into the waist, chest, and the beautiful face of the Lord. That's dhyana. Then samadhi, you are deep in meditation of the Lord. So these are the 8 angas or the limbs of yoga before even begin. So when you practice these astanga yogas the result of practicing this yoga, you are awarded with a special supernatural powers. They are called siddhis. This is what we Srila Prabhupada mentioned, the different siddhis or inhabitants of Siddha Loka have got a different kinds of siddhis. Lord Krishna, as I mentioned earlier, explains these siddhis in details to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto, in the 15th chapter. So there are 23 siddhis, 8 primary, 10 secondary, and 5 just the ordinary or the best ones. So briefly we'll just go through these 23 siddhis. Krishna explains how to attain this also. He gives the name of the cities and also gives the how to attain these cities. At the end, he will tell you so the first one is Anima Siddhi. This is the first eight primary Siddhis we are discussing. So first one is Anima Siddhi. This Siddhi or this perfection or this supernatural power, one can become a smaller than the smallest. Anu, Anima. Anu means small, very tiniest particle, very atom, to the degree of atom. So this is the first Siddhi of the eight primary, so Ashta Siddhis we call it. So Anima is becoming smaller than the smallest. So that is the first thing. So Lord Krishna explains to Uddhava. Uddhava asks, how do we attain this Siddhis? So the very first Lord Krishna explains in the text 10 of the 15th chapter of the 11th canto, the one who worships me in my atomic form, pervading all subtle elements, fixing his mind on that alone, obtains the mystic of perfection called Anima. So, first five or six, it's the meditation on the energies of the Lord, the different elements of Him, that's creation. So that's the Lord Krishna explains. See, this is just gradual. You'll see this, all see this as we go through. You'll notice that Krishna is going through a gradual progression into getting them to meditate on the Supreme. Or ultimately, he's saying, I am the everything. You should be meditating. So this is just a So next Siddhi is Mahima. That becomes greater than the greatest. Mahima means, Mahan means big. So it's word coming from Mahima. It become a big. You can make your the first three, so Anima, Mahima and Lagima, is referring to a body. You can make your body as small as an atom, and you can also make your body as the greatest, as largest. For example, we have a Hanuman. When he was going crossing the ocean from the shore of going to Lanka, he met a demoness in the ocean. She came up, and see, he made a condition with Hanuman that it is a condition, whoever passes through this area has to enter through my mouth, which means indirectly means she's going to eat you. You cannot pass through. Hanuman said, okay, I will go through. So Hanuman used this anima, first siddhi, and became a small and entered into the mouth. His mind completely in me, within the element writer of the senses of all living entity. He attained such a perfection because his mind is absorbed in me. So how do we attain the fourth siddhi? By meditating on one of the energies of false ego. Ultimately, so as a result, he can also reach whatever he wants. He can also control the minds of others. Fifth one is called Prakamya Siddhi. One experiences the enjoyable objects, either in this world or next. So anything that is pleasurable, by this Siddhi, person can attain that. It's called Prakamya Siddhi. And Krishna explains how to attain this one. One who concentrates all mental activities in me. It's mental activities. So now we're going to the mind element. As a super sofa, all phase of Mahatattva, which manifests in the chain of fruitive activities, obtained from me, whose appearance is beyond material perception. the most excellent mystic perfection called Prakamya. The sixth one is Isita Siddhi. What's Isita? Anyone? One can manipulate the substance of Maya, controlling potency. So Isita is a control. Isa comes from Isa. Isa means the controller. So the sixth perfection is Isita Siddhi. So this particular Siddhi is the one who can control anything they wish to control. So this one here, Krishna explained how to attain. One who places his consciousness on Vishnu. Now, Krishna coming explaining how progressively, first he was asking us to meditate on different energies of the Lord. Now he's coming into the personal form. He says to attain this Isita, Siddhi, or the controlling power, Krishna, he says, one who places his consciousness on Vishnu, the super soul, the prime mover, and the supreme lord of the external energy consisting of three modes, obtains the mystic perfection controlling other conditioned souls, their material bodies and their bodily designation. With this mystic power, they can even send someone to a different places, different planet. In fact, in Ramayana, we find that Vishwamitra had this perfection. With Trishanku, he wanted to go to the heavenly planet on his own, this person, this same body. Through this Siddhi, Vishwamitra was able to actually send Trishanku into heavenly planets. Of course, the story goes that they didn't want that somebody from the material body into a heavenly planet and Indra sends him back. And then he comes downwards. And then when Vishwamitra notices that he's coming down, so he sends him back. So there's a competition going between Vishwamitra and the heavenly planet. So then through another siddhi, Vishwamitra was able to create a whole heavenly planet. It's called Trishanku planet, I think it is. So there are different perfection they achieved by, they have achieved. We hear from Ramayana, Mahabharata. So they are able to do this extraordinary feats through this perfection. So the seventh one is Pasita Siddhi. This is one is in and played, but so he can control the three modes. Means controlling again. This is the second one also, which is similar to the sixth one, Isita. Pasita means controlling, and he controls the three modes of anything that's the goodness, passion, ignorance, and all the modes. He's able to control those. The yogi who places his mind in my form of Narayana, known as the fourth factor, full of all opulences, becomes endowed with my nature and thus obtains the mystical perfection called Pasita. So this is the seventh one. Eight, Kamabasaita Siddhi. This is one can attain anything from anywhere to the highest possible limit. One can bring other under control in one's domination and keeps oneself beyond the control of three modes of material nature. This is the eighth siddhi. So this, how we attain this, Krishna explains. One who fixes his pure mind on me, in my manifestation as the impersonal Brahman, attains the greatest happiness, wherein all his desires are completely fulfilled. So this is, again, So these are the eight primary siddhis Krishna has explained as we anima, mahima, lagima, prapti, asita, all those eight siddhis. How do we attain again? In conclusion, it is on the meditating on the energies of the Lord or in the Lord's feature as Paramatma. So these are attained by these processes. Now, there are 10 secondary siddhis also. The first one is Anurmi Matvam Siddhi, power of freeing oneself from the hunger and thirst, so anything that is related to stomach. So these siddhis are now smaller. The first primary ones were had a complete, they can actually manipulate anything, everything almost. The secondary ones has got a limitation. They are specific. So the first one is power of freeing oneself from the hunger and thirst. So anything that is with the bodily, they are able to overcome that through the siddhi. So Krishna explains in different ways that the human being who concentrates on me, upholder of the religious principle and this control, personification of pure and one and Lord, pure and the Lord of the Shvetadvip or Lord Vishnu, obtains this pure existence in this, in which he is free from the six waves of material disturbances, namely hunger, thirst, decay, death, grief, and illusion. So again, this is obtained again through the meditation on the Lord. So I'll just go through Lord Krishna explains everything how to attain also, so I won't go through the how to attain, I'll just go through these 10 secondary as a name. So second one is Dehismin Siddhi, overcomes bodily disturbances. The first one was anything hunger, thirst, decay, death, grief. Again, this is also any disturbance that causes the body through the external, that is also, that's the second one. The third one is Dura Sravana Darshanam Siddhi, hearing and listening, or hearing or seeing things that are far away. Third one, Dura Darshan, Dura Sravana Darshanam. He can hear things that are far away. And you can hear and also see things that are far away. Just by sitting in one place, you're able to see and hear. Fourth one, Mana Java Siddhi, moving the body at the speed of mind. So one can travel at the speed of mind. This is just another siddhi. fifth one, Kamarupam Siddhi, assuming any form as the desire. That'd be nice, huh? Chad? You can assume any forms you would desire. If you don't like your body, if you don't like your teeth, if you don't like your eyes, nose, I can just sit there and I can change it. I think our scientists have tried, they're trying to manipulate, but through this siddhi, one can just by sitting one place, you can change. Sixth one, Parakaya Praveshnam Siddhi. One can enter into another's body. Seventh, Swa Chanda Mrityu Siddhi. Dying when one desires, not when Yamaraj comes or somebody comes. But even the death, they're able to control when they wish to die. Eight. The Devanam Sahakrida Anudarsanam Siddhi. They're able to witness the activities or the different activities of higher planets, different planetary system. They were able to see, but just by seeing here, sitting here, they are able to see what demigods are doing. Or different planets, different place. So they can even see far distance. Ninth, Sankalpa Siddhi, completely executing one's determination. If they have determined, if you have they have taken a vow, they are able to finish that vow no matter what. That's a Sankalpa Siddhi. That's the ninth one. Tenth, Agya Arpita Siddhi means the giving orders. Okay. So it means if one orders, that order is carried out no matter what. No obstacles, it stops that happen. So this is the 10 secondary. And there are 5 inferior, very another 5 ones Krishna explains. So first one is Trikala Gyatva. A person knows past, present and future. Trikala. And this one Krishna explained how to attain. A yogi who has purified existence by devotion to me and who thus expertly knows the process of meditation obtains the knowledge of past, present and future. This is the first, the second, the inferior mystical siddhis. The second one is Advandam Siddhi, means able to tolerate the dvandas. Dvandas means heat, cold, dualities, any kind of duality, sad, happy, able to control and tolerate them. The third one, Parachitta Adi Avigya Siddhi, knowing the minds of other, it's another siddhi. Yeah. And the fourth one, Agni Arka Ambu Visra Adinam Paramishtam Siddhi, which means the checking the influence of fire, sun, water, poison and so on. Any element, external animal, for example, fire, if they sit in the fire, they can able to walk in the fire, able to to tolerate the extreme heat of the sun and the water and so on and so forth. So they're able to, they have that power. For example, the sister of Hiranyakashipu was Holika. Holika is she had a bloom, or she had even actually a chada that if she wears that, she can sit in the fire. So when the Hiranyakashipu wanted to punish Prahlad Maharaj, she offered herself, said, "I will sit, I'll burn for Prahlad Maharaj, I'll take Prahlad and burn." Because she had that this special chadar given to her by Lord Rama to able to protect herself, she wears it and then the other person will burn. So it happens that she sits, takes Prahlad Maharaj on her lap, she sits on the fire in order to burn Prahlad Maharaj. By the Lord's grace, that is actually the chadar flies away and sits in Prahlad Maharaj and she gets burned. That's why I think the festival known as Holi is known after Holika, because the students, the followers of Prahlad Maharaj, when they saw that Holika is burned, they celebrated this festival with the putting different colors in the jubilation of she being dead, and then they put this color on. That's why this particular festival coming from Prahlad Maharaj as well as called Holi, because the Holika is the personality who got burned, and then the students of the followers of Prahlad Maharaj celebrated this. So that's why this festival is called Holi, which is celebrated a couple of days ago in Lawn. Was it nice? So, where are we? So other one, this fifth one was remaining unconquered. Ajat, aparajaya, siddhi, remaining unconquered by others. This is the fifth one. So, let's see what Krishna says. Krishna says about these siddhis. He gives all the whole list. He explains how to attain. And that's his conclusion. I just want to put this back to his time there. He says, this is in text, 11th canto, 15th chapter, text 33. Learned experts in devotional service state that the mystic perfection of yoga that I have mentioned are actually impediment and are waste of time. Krishna explains all this, gives that. And then he says, waste of time. For one who is practicing a supreme yoga by which one achieves all perfection in life directly from me. So these perfections are very tempting, looks very great. You can do a deed or act that ordinarily we will not be able to. But Krishna says a waste of time. He says kala shapana. That's the word he used. Kala means time. Shapana means waste. And he says, whatever mystic perfection can be achieved by good birth, herb, austerities, and mantras. So this perfection can be attained by different ways. Austerity is one of them. It's also through the mantras. So it says, can be achieved by devotional service to me. Krishna explains. In purport of that, one of the acharyas explains, by taking birth as a demigod, one is automatically endowed with many mystic perfections. So if you do a good pious activities, if you are promoted to a different planet, you are automatically given this siddhis. Simply by birth in the Siddhaloka, as this particular verse here mentioning about Siddhaloka, the residence of Siddhaloka, simply by birth on the Siddhaloka, one automatically acquires all of the eight principal perfection of yoga. Similarly, by the birth as a fish, one becomes invulnerable from the water. Bird has got another siddhi that you can fly. Bird already has got a siddhi. Yeah. Ghost. By birth as a ghost, one gets the mystic perfection of disappearing and entering into somebody's body, other bodies. So it's not a big, it's not a great. No. And Lord Krishna finally concludes, says, Sarvesham apisiddhanam. Sarvesham means all. Apisiddhanam, all the siddhas. Hetu patir aham prabhu. I am the pati. Pati means protector. Aham means I. This Lord Krishna is speaking. Prabhu, I am the master. Sarvesham, he explained all these 23 siddhis, and he says, Sarvesham apisiddhanam hetu patir aham prabhu. I am the prabhu of those all the siddhis. I own this. This is my given by me. He says, my dear Uddhava, I am the cause the protector and the lord of all this mystic perfection of this yoga system. And so Krishna says this is his power. Again, Lord Krishna explains, that every perfection is achieved by meditation, by different elements and everything. Ultimately, Krishna is the owner, grantor. He is known as Siddheshwara. He is the lord of all the siddhis. So these siddhis are limited to this world. Even though you may have this, one may have, yogis may have this siddhis, but they are limited within this universe. Different planet, yes, but they cannot go to a spiritual world. This is not something that the siddhas, you can do extraordinary things in this world, but it is contained within the realm of this universe. One cannot go back to Krishna or spiritual world having these siddhis. What is the way? Is by Krishna says, devotional service to me. That's the only way. So what is the use? Again, Krishna says it's waste of time. Having these siddhis. Perform my devotional service. You will automatically get these siddhis. You will have these siddhis. And on top of that, most importantly, we will be out of this cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. So in conclusion, yes, so Krishna is Yogeshwara. He's the in full, total. So these siddhis are used by different personalities in different demigods, different rishis. They have done so many things. We shouldn't be surprised saying, oh, these yogis have just created a planet out of blue. They can. Krishna has said it's a fact. It's not just not a false. It's a false that in the past or our scientists or the modern people, modern education say, how can it be possible? It isn't possible. It is done. It is in the history. It is in the literatures. They have done. It can be done. But for the modern days, it's not possible because we are living in the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, we don't have that concentrating the power of controlling. We don't have all that, unfortunately. So our best siddhi to attain, get is from chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna says another one, he says, a learned devotee who worships me through yoga meditation certainly obtains all respect of mystic perfection which I have described. This is Krishna is explaining. So he can, just by performing a devotional service, we get these perfections. This was just a little glimpse on the perfection. This is for only preaching purpose. And also just learn, it's something that people will ask. Then it's not the highest, but just for our knowledge, we should have. That's why I just wanted to share with you what I've shared. And today is also a very special day in our Vaishnava calendar. It is the Bhishma Astaka. Bhishma Astaka is the day Bhishma Dev passed away from this planet. Bhishma Dev had a Ichchamrityu, one of the siddhis we just heard. Ichchamrityu means he can die when he wishes to. He had a control over. He did not in this pastime he did not get this yoga through this siddhi through the yoga, but he was given this siddhi or this perfection was given to him by his father. And he was blessed that he could die when he wishes to. So Lord Bhishma Dev is a very special personality. He is one of the Mahajan. Mahajans, whatever the path, the religion, or duties, they are the authorities on the dharma. Dharma is the duties of the men, all the mankind should follow. So the out of 12 Mahajan, Bhishma is one of them. So he's a very special personality. And today happens to be the day, I think we're just running out of time to describe the whole pastimes of Bhishma. Just wanted to read a little verse by Bhishma Dev when he was just passing away. He was at the lying down on the bed of arrow. So Lord Krishna appears there on four-handed form, and then Lord Bhishma Dev, and in that situation he prays just before he's leaving his body. He prays to Lord Krishna. I'll just read through a few verses. This is on the first canto of 9th chapter, Bhishma Dev praying to Lord, passing away. This title is called Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. I'll just read through a few verses of Bhishma Dev's prayer, how he prays, how he should be living, how we should remember the Lord at the end of the, and when we are passing away. So this is from the first canto, 9th chapter, text 31. By pure meditation, looking at the Lord Krishna in four-handed form, he at once was free from all material inauspiciousness and was relieved from all bodily pains caused by arrow's wound. Thus all external living activities of his senses at once stopped. He prayed transcendentally to the controller of the all living beings while quitting his material body. Bhishma Dev said, "Let me now invest my thinking, willing, and thinking, feeling, and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects of occupational duties, dharma, in all powerful Lord Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes being a leader of the devotees, he enjoyed the transcendental pleasure by descending to the material world, although from him only material world is created. Although from him only the material world is created." So he goes on praying. There's a lot of verses. And he also says in text 36, it says, "When Arjuna was seemingly polluted by ignorance upon absorbing the soldiers and commander before him on the battlefield, the Lord eradicated the ignorance by delivering the transcendent knowledge. May his lotus feet always remain the object of my attraction." This is Bhishma Dev praying. "Fulfilling my vow and sacrificing on his own promise, he got down from the chariot, took up the wheel, and ran towards me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way." Do you know the pastime? This one. The Bhishma Dev was fighting so furiously. At one point, we came to the point that Arjuna was not able to fight with Bhishma. It was just Bhishma was too powerful against Arjuna. So, Krishna, before the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna took a vow not to take any weapons. Even then, on the battlefield, he would be only a chariot driver of Arjuna. But Bhishma, they fought so furiously. Arjuna was almost in the point of danger, being killed by Bhishma. At that time, Krishna broke his vow. What did he do? He picked up the the chariot wheel that was that fell from the chariot wheel. He just picked it up to go and kill Bhishma Dev. So Bhishma Dev is remembering this. He says, fulfilling my vow of fulfilling my vow of sacrificing his own promise. So Krishna sacrificed his vow in order to fulfill protect the devotees. So now I can meditate with full concentration upon the Lord, Lord Sri Krishna, now present before me. Because I have transcended the misconception of duality in regards of His presence in His heart. Even in the hearts of the mundane speculators, He's in everyone's hearts. The sun may be prescribed differently, but the sun is one. So this is how Lord Bhishma Dev have prayed to Lord Krishna. One more. May He, Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who awards salvation, be my ultimate destination. What is Bhishma Dev asking? That he wants to, the Krishna, may Krishna's service, may Krishna be my destination. On the battlefield, he charged me as if angry because of wounds dealt by my sharp arrows. His shield was shattered, and by his body he was smeared with blood due to his wound. At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon chariot driver of Lord of Arjuna, who stood with whip in his right hand and bridle rope on the left, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him in the battlefield of Kurukshetra attains their original form after death. So this is how Vishnu Dev prayed before he passed away to Lord Krishna. So on this special day, we should also pray to the Lord and the devotees, and remember the Vishnu Dev, what his prayers are. His prayers are how he can serve the Lord and Lord Krishna. So I would like to end here to go. So if any questions, comments or corrections, or please feel free to ask me.
So Prabhupada had these qualities you're talking about, the cities, and he, there are examples of the devotees who told some of the pastimes that Prabhupada had these qualities, like he could become very light, and at the end of the life of Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and they used to carry him in palanquin, because he couldn't walk anymore, and then the devotees one day saw Prabhupada. The devotees came to pick him up and fell asleep, and Prabhupada was very light that day. They picked him up like picking up this bottle. He was so light.
Yes.
And so they all looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked at them, and they said, Prabhupada said that today I am very light. he has the power.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Know, like you said, he didn't emphasize that.
Krishna, I mean Prabhupada certainly would have some of these siddhis, and he did not manifest them. Even he did not manifest, because that's not ultimate, that's not what his goal, his mission was, to present Krishna as a supreme. Everything comes from him. And even I think I can't recall the dates and time and place, but once Prabhupada was asked, We have seen so many Siddhis, Gurus, and so many come to the West and show their extraordinary feat, extraordinary, they can, you know, rise from the seat and they can get something from thin air. Can you tell us or do something or show me, show something? You're a great saint, you're a sadhu, you're a yogi from India, spiritual personality. Can you show something? What did Prabhupada say? Yes. And he said, my perfection, my siddhis, you could see, I have turned these hippies into happies. Means I have converted these low-graded, low in terms of social and everything, was there on the bottom of the pit. I made them into a devotees, transcendental, happy devotees. So that is my mystic, and that's my power, you can see. I don't need to show you extraordinary. You can see them. This is what I've turned in these malachas into a great devotees. That is the power of the Srila Prabhupada. Yes, any other?
The last verse of the 8th chapter also, Krishna Parashri summarizes saying that of all the things bhakti is that almost like everything that you do is by bhakti, everything you will attain.
Yes.
8th chapter 28,
yes. 8th chapter of
Gita.
Do you know the verse?
Yeah, Devrishu Yagnishu Tapashu Deva Baneshu Yagpunya Samukhavitam Kathiri Taksaram. Like charities, austerities, everything. If you do, everything is there in devotional service. Finally, the convenience of devotional service. So devotion has everything, but they all don't have devotion.
That's correct. See, all these siddhis and the perfection, the power and everything, you can get one of these, or you can master some of them, or you can have multiple of them. But a devotee surpasses, so a devotee is automatically granted these, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, as Mataji mentioned. You automatically get it. But you have to be we have to strive for it. We don't have it. Firstly, I mean, we are in Kali Yuga, we have very limited, we are limited to do all these austerities and performances. So best for us is Harinama 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 Eva Kevalam Kalau Nasteva 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 Nandatiranyata. In this age of Kali, simply by chanting the holy name, you get everything. So keep that. Yeah, waste of time. This is a waste of time. Kalakshamam, I think was it the word used. He said, don't waste time, this will.
Why do they, like, Siddhartha not try to attain these things? Why do they, develop any kind of emotions for, because they're still focusing on any other form of Paramatma or something? Do they attain any emotions for Paramatma?
See, by performing this, the tapasyas and all this, in order to attain siddhis, ultimately, they would be performing these yoga to attain Paramatma. As a reward, these siddhas are all side effect of yoga meditation, dhyana yoga. You'll get this. So you'll get a power to do some feats in this world. As a pious act deed of doing a tapasya, you also promote it to the higher planetary system. But you still remain the realm of material existence. There is nowhere. Very rare that the yogis have attained, gone home back to Godhead. So by devotional service, yes, you can be out of this material world. But all this perfection, powers, and everything, while you are doing this, you will get this power. You can do extraordinary feat, quitting the body, this current body. You are promoted to a higher planetary system, but then ultimately, once your the credit or pious is finished, then you'll have to come back again. So it goes again in a cycle.
Very sweet. Very sweet.
Yeah, it's a very sweet. So this need to really endeavor for these perfections. For the devotees, automatically granted. When Dhruva Maharaj was going, he even stepped on the death, at the head of the death. So as a devotee, it was granted already. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
But they possess the joy of materialistic power. But their consciousness is not good, but possessing those powers.
Yes, I mean, you're right. I mean, when you are a resident of certain Siddhaloka, for example, the consciousness is better than what we have in a material world here. Their consciousness is a lot purer, a lot higher. Even amongst them, I mean, those who are praying here on this verse here, it's probably the better ones within Siddhaloka. They are fully in devotion service. Even within the heavenly planets or different planets, they are different residents. They have a different category, different levels of. They could be. I'm not 100% to comment on that. But what I understand, for example, what we have here is a mixture of. We have some devotees who are Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, and different levels, different grades, even within the different human beings. Similarly, I'm assuming there are also some gradation of devotees within other higher planets. And those who are praying here actually are like those who are more devotional or devoted prayers. They're specifically saying, yes, we should merge ourselves into hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So that it's a purer form, pure personalities. Whether everyone in that Siddhaloka are as pure as these devotees who are praying, I'm not sure. But certainly they are in the higher realm, they are also higher consciousness. Does it make sense? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes. It is like these yogic powers are like considered as having a bank account. Bank account, you have given a certain amount, you have a certain amount of money. If you give 100,000, you have 500,000, you have given 100,000 to someone else, and you remain with 400,000. Similarly, these siddhis have got a certain limitation. Once they use it, they lose it also. For example, I'm just trying to think of Ramayana, some yogis, they have cursed someone. But they had to go back again to get that whatever they have used. So they're not also a permanent, they are like, as I said, is a bank account. So you use it, you lose it, some. If you lose everything, you also lose it. And they are aware of how much they're using it also. They have given that knowledge. Anything else?
We suffering in the samsara
dhava,
we sing in the morning.
Yes.
Fire.
Yeah, it is there. It is there. What is it called? Klesa dhava agni. Klesa. Klesa means miseries, anxieties, distress, sufferings. Dhava agni means forest fire.
Also, gopis sing that dhava katha mutam tapta jiyanam. Kavi vidhi vitam talpasa. pastimes like Avakathamrutam, Tapta Jeevanam, our life.
Yes.
Kavindiriritam, Kalmasapam, all the ill effects will go.
Yes, Kalmasa means ill effects will go away, because just by remembering the gopis are remembering the Lord while they were with Krishna. Now Krishna has disappeared, remembering that all that the activities they have done with Krishna, that the get rid of all the kalmas. Kalmas means the tail effect. Okay, so we'll like to end here. Sri Sri Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Go Premanandi.